Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 2 of the New Japan Podcast on the unofficial WWE Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Downing, and welcome back for another show here. I appreciate everybody that listened to the first show, and I have a very, very loaded show for you here this week. We are going to go over Power Struggle. That was on the 7th. We are going to go over the New Japan of America that happened on Friday. We're going to touch base on the press conference that was held for Wrestle Kingdom. That's just coming up here in a few short months, guys. It's going to be a loaded two-day event in January. I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said last week, it's basically New Japan's WrestleMania equivalent, and I really think it's going to be a great show, and the stars are aligning for some few matches, and three matches have already been announced. So we will touch base on the press conference, and then after that we are going to go over the entrance for the World Tag League and the Best of the Super Junior 27 that will be running simultaneously starting on the 15th or this upcoming Sunday. It's with COVID going on, usually they would do two blocks of 10, but with the pandemic, they're only going to do two single blocks running simultaneously, so one block of 10 for each tournament. Just a quick backstory into the tournaments, because I know some of you that are listening to this are new to the product. So World Tag League is a tag team tournament, and since it's one block, there will be 10 teams, 10 tag teams, and they will go against each other every night at a different venue, and the winner gets 2 points. If you draw, you get a point. If you lose, you get no points. So the two highest scoring teams, after they've all faced each other, will face each other on the last night at Nippon Budokan. I believe it's on December 6th. So we have a little bit for this to play out. Well, the top two teams will wrestle each other. And this will be running simultaneously, like I said before, with the Best of Super Junior. Usually that is also two blocks of 10. But again, it will be one single block of 10 running every other night besides the first night. The first night they're going to run together, but all the shows after that, they will be either just Best of the Super Junior for a show or World Tag League for a show. I know it's kind of confusing, but the pandemic has really screwed up the plans for New Japan. The Best of the Super Junior is a tournament that should have taken place months ago, but with the COVID shutdown and all of that for New Japan for a couple months, they had to figure out a way to get things going. So this was the easiest way to get everything scheduled in. So we will be going over both the entrances for both tournaments, and we will go over the show cards, as far as I know what the show cards are, because some of them haven't been released yet, before our next show, which will come out next Saturday. Like I said, I'm recording this on a Thursday night for it to come out on Saturday. I think I will stick with Thursday nights. Like I said last week, I have two young children, and my wife usually watches them while I record, so this is the easiest time that I have to record. So I'm thinking Thursday night will be the sweet spot. But, you know, back to the rundown here. We will go over both of those, and then we will go over the card for this Friday and next Friday for New Japan of America, the American show that I told you about last week. So let's just get started here with Power Struggle. I hope some of you were able to watch it on New Japan World. And those of you that didn't and still haven't gotten New Japan World, what are you waiting for? I know my buddy DJ said that he plans on getting it. Well, come on, DJ. You need to get out there and buy that. Quit slacking, man. So, one of the things I want to do is go over the matches, and I'll kind of go over my predictions that I made last week. You know, this show should have been out early Saturday, and guys, I messed up. I sent Matt a file that he couldn't open because it was on from my wife's Google Drive, and long story short, the show did not get out when I intended it to. And for that, I apologize. It was supposed to be out early Saturday. That way, most of the people might not have watched Power Struggle yet. And then people don't think that I was watching along and then making my predictions. Because, you know, that would be cheating. And I'm not a cheater. So, I recorded this on Thursday night. And you can subpoena me to court. I'm going to win. So one of the things I like to do here is go to Cage Match. And for those of you that don't know what Cage Match is, it is a site where you can go and look at any wrestling event that occurred on a certain day, and you will get a rating of 1 to 10 that other wrestling fans rated the show. So at the time last week when I watched it, it had a 6.53 out of 10, which I think is too low. I thought the show was much higher than that, but I'll kind of give my opinion on it afterwards. But I wanted to get the Cage Match rating for it today as I'm recording, and right now it's at a 6.60, which is higher than it was last week when I looked. So, we're just going to get into it. So, the first match, we had Tohru Yano defeating Zack Sabre Jr. by a countout in 12 minutes and 11 seconds. So, with this match, you got your typical Yano match. Those of you that know New Japan, it's a lot of humor. And, you know, it's a typical gimmick match that Yano would do. And I know last week I said Yano would win. I figured that he would due to, you know, the King of Pro Wrestling being kind of like a gimmick trophy. Well, it should stay with the guy that's the king of gimmicks, which is Tohru Yano. So Yano won the match by tying Sabre's shoelaces together around the barricade, and Sabre couldn't get out of the barricade because his shoes were tied together. So, it was pretty funny after the match. He was chasing one of the young lions down with scissors, and it was hilarious. That was probably the highlight of the match itself. I thought it went a little long for just the kind of the style of match it was, but overall, I didn't think it was bad. So, I started out 1-0 on my picks. Our next match was Shingo Takagi versus Minoru Suzuki. And it was Shingo winning in 18 minutes and 56 seconds with the Last of the Dragon. Another match that I thought this was the match of the show was this match. These two always bring it when they're wrestling together. They had a great match in Jingu Stadium in August. And this was just much of the same thing here. I thought it was pretty interesting that Shingo came out with his lower back heavily taped, and it seemed like at first Suzuki wasn't really going for it, but as the match kind of prolonged, he seemed like he was targeting that lower back a little more. And you know, they traded forearms, they Shingo hit a Made in Japan. They were trading forearms left and right. It was just an amazing, amazing match, and a lot of action. And Suzuki hit Shingo with a chair, and Yeah, the one thing I didn't really like about it was it kind of ended abruptly. Like it seemed like, and I'm not the only one that thought this, but it seemed like towards the end when, so towards the end of the match, Shingo was hitting Suzuki with all these lariats, and it seemed like Suzuki was really dazed, like almost like he like wasn't all there, kind of like he was knocked out on his feet. Well, even after the match, he was kind of acting kind of funky, so I'm wondering if that was a legit injury, and because the match kind of ended out of nowhere with the Last of the Dragon by Shingo, I'm hoping that Suzuki's okay, and maybe I just overanalyzed what I saw. So, yeah, Shingo went over Suzuki, Last of the Dragon, 1856. I picked Shingo last week, so I'm 2-0 on my picks. Kazuchika Okada versus the Great Okan with Will Ospreay at the side. So Ospreay came out with a suit and champagne, basically thinking that Okan was going to come in and walk out easily and win the match. So was not the case, as Okada went over Okan in 12:58 with the money clip. Although Okan did not tap, he passed out, so that kind of helps Okan because he can say that he did not tap, which is what he said after in the backstage comments after the match. He said, "I did not tap." So that is a way to make Okan look strong. And you know, last week I said that I didn't think that Okan was going to win this match because Ospreay wants to get a hold of by Okada, so Okada wants to get to Ospreay, and Ospreay had already told him, "Well, you're not going to get to me until you go over Okan." So what ended up happening after the match was let me kind of go through the match a little bit before I get to that. But I thought Okan controlled most of the match, about 80% of it. So it was kind of weird for Okada to get the money clip just towards the end. But, you know, it started out quick. Okan attacked Okada from behind. They were trading spots, but Okan controlled the match pretty early. And then at around the 10-minute mark, Okada put on the money clip on Okan, and that was towards, this match went about 13 minutes. Well, that was when, around the late 12-minute mark, that is when Okan didn't submit. He passed out. And I want to keep reiterating that because I think that's going to kind of keep the new stable, the Empire, strong. So after the match was over, Ospreay came up to the stage and confronted Okada, and he said, "I used you, and I realized I couldn't be the best wrestler on the planet if you were in my way by your side." And he said, "I'm not going to have to worry about being the best around you because I'm going to end you at Wrestle Kingdom." And then Okada, who doesn't speak, you know, English very much, said, "I understood Wrestle Kingdom, you and me, and fight or wrestle." So basically he agreed to the match at Wrestle Kingdom 15 and on January 4th and 5th. And that is going to be an insanely good match. I think it'll be way better than their G1 match. And like I said, I figured Okada was going to win so they could set that up. So that's what ended up happening. So I ended up starting 3-0 on my picks from last week. Our next match was Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Kenta for the IWGP USA title briefcase contract, with Kenta winning in 19 minutes and 57 seconds with the game over submission. This was a pretty standard, you know, match. I thought Kenta controlled most of it. He's one of the best strikers in New Japan, so he was striking Tanahashi with kicks And then Tanahashi started to kind of get some offense going, and he locked in his sharpshooter submission a few times, but Kenta ended up locking in the game over submission. It kind of reminds me of like a STFU, like John Cena and WWE would use. It's, you know, it kind of resembles that. So Kenta keeps his briefcase to challenge the USA champion. You know, and like I said last week, John Moxley from AEW, or Dean Ambrose, you might recall him as from his time in WWE, he is the current USA champion. And I'm hoping that they can set something up at Wrestle Kingdom where he can come and drop the belt to Kenta. I think New Japan would have pulled it off of him by now, but I think they really thought they could set something up to where he could come and, you know, defend the belt. So I'm really hoping at Wrestle Kingdom that is what we will get. And I'm just hoping that is the case. So we'll just have to tune in, and I will keep watching the New Japan news, and hopefully that is what will end up going down. And I did pick Kenta last week, so your boy Zach started off really good at 4-0. Our next match is Jay White versus Kota Ibushi for the IWGP and Intercontinental Right to Challenge briefcase and contract. Ibushi just won that from the G1 tournament that just wrapped up. And Jay White ended up going over in 18 minutes and 47 seconds with a backslide pin, but he had his foot on the ropes and the referee didn't see it. But, you know, I picked Ibushi last week because, you know, in the history of New Japan with these briefcases, they've had 16 defenses of these briefcases, and not once has the briefcase ever been lost on a defense before that person, you know, cashed it in at Wrestle Kingdom. It's just never happened. This is the first time it has ever happened, and I was shocked. Because Ibushi has won the G1 the last 2 years. And at the time, I was thinking that is just terrible for him to win, you know, the last 2 years. And he's never held the IWGP heavyweight title before. So it was just crazy. And then for him to lose the way he did, you know, by a cheat that the ref didn't see, that was the one match I missed. And our last match, and I'm going to make this one quick because you heard me last week. This match is garbage. Evil versus Naito. I said last week Naito would go over. He did, in a very long, way too long match of 33 minutes and 8 seconds. And Naito got the win with the Destino. This match was just, it was garbage. I'm just so tired of these two facing each other. I said it last week. There's just too much interference. We had, like, Sonata come out to fight off the two guys that Evil had at the ringside area. Dick Togo and Yujiro Takahashi from the Bullet Club were interfering in the match after a ref bump. And Sonata, who's in the same stable as Naito, had to come out and clean up shop. It was just way too much interference. I hope this is the last match for these two, so Naito didn't lose his belts going into Wrestle Kingdom. So, barring something very unforeseen between now and Wrestle Kingdom in January, Naito should be the champion going into Wrestle Kingdom. So that was Power Struggle. I ended up going 5-1 on the 6 matches, so not bad for a New Japan host. I probably wouldn't be doing a good job if I missed half those matches now, would I? Probably not. So, next thing I want to do is go over our entrants for both tournaments. I'm going to kind of run through those quickly, so I'm not talking about each each contestant, because there's, you know, 20 some contestants I got to go through here. As usual, those that, of you that are new to New Japan, all the info I get about the promotion is njpw1972.com. It's their English website. I suggest anybody that's new to the promotion use that site for the news. And also, those of you that are new, that's where they do a lot of interviews for the wrestlers and such. So it's a good way to learn the wrestlers as well. So, sorry, I'm just pulling up the entrance here. So, the entrances for the Best of the Super Junior. I am so sorry for all the dead air, guys. I'm trying to find it. It was a week ago or so before they announced it. I have it right here. So, the 10 people that will be participating in the Best of Super Junior 27. First is Taiji Ishimori, his fourth entry, third consecutive. He is the current IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. I don't think he will win this tournament by any means. You know, he got the belt from Hiromu Takahashi at Jingu Stadium show in August. He is coming in the champion, and, you know, usually the champions don't win the tournament, but, hey, I was wrong about the briefcase being lost, so I could be wrong here, you never know. So, he's our first contestant. Next, we have El Desperado, who's in the Suzuki Goon stable. This is his fourth entry, his first in 2 years, and he is one half of the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Next is Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and before I get too much info to him, I just found out today he actually has a knee injury, so he will not be participating in the tournament, which, you know, that's kind of a shame, because I think he would have been a good wrestler as far as keeping the pace and all the matches and kind of keeping all the younger juniors going in the right direction and stuff, so that is a shame. Yuya Uemura is actually the replacement. He's a young lion currently in the Nage Dojo in Japan. He's going to be a pin eater. You know, those of you that are new to the promotion know that young lions, they don't really get a lot of wins unless it's against another young lion. They usually eat the pin in matches that aren't against young lions. Now, they do get wins in multi-tags, but usually they're not the one pinning somebody on the other team unless it's the other young lion. So I doubt Uemura is going to pick up any wins during this tournament. He's probably most likely there just to gain experience, and, you know, with COVID, it's hard to get somebody over as a last-minute replacement anyways. So, yeah, this Yuya Uemura is taking over for Kanemaru. Next, we have Hiromu Takahashi, fifth entry, first in 2 years, and he won the tournament in 2018. So, he had a pretty bad neck injury, which is why he missed last year's tournament. It was a really brutal injury. I'm glad he's back and that he's healthy. He's one of my favorites for the tournament. I think him and Desperado will be a good match, and he'll have a good match with basically everybody here. So our next participant is Rizuki Taguchi. This is his 17th entry, 15th consecutive. He won the tournament in 2012. So he's usually always in the running, even though he's one of the more older competitors in the tournament. I think he will give a lot of good matches to all the other contestants as well. And don't be surprised if he's in the running all the way until the last day. I don't think he's going to win, but I definitely believe he'll be in the running. Our next one is Master Wato. This is his Best of Super Junior debut. He actually just debuted a couple months ago at the Dominion pay-per-view. So I'm kind of interested to see how he is in a tournament setting. I can't really comment too much on him because I've never saw him in a tournament besides the tag team junior tournament he was in, and I thought he looked impressive there, so I'd imagine he will, you know, look just as impressive in this, so I guess we will all have to tune in and find out. The next participant is Sho, his third entry, third consecutive. He is another one I have as a potential winner. I will pick a winner after I'm done doing all the participants, but I really think he is the perfect person to take it all this year. Our next participant is Robbie Eagles, second entry, second consecutive. This is his first return back to New Japan since the shutdown before the pandemic hit, and I think he will go a long way in this tournament as well. I don't think he's going to win it. He's not one of the people I have my eyes on as far as winning. Next, we have Bushi. This is his eighth entry, fifth consecutive. He's another one that I think, you know, experience, you know, plays a role here. He's in there to make sure, you know, all the matches go the way Gato wants them to and that everything, you know, goes off without a hitch. So he'll be another one that I wouldn't be shocked is at least in the running, you know, as the show goes on. And then our last competitor is Doki. It's his second entry, second consecutive. He's another one that I think will win some matches, but I don't think he's going to be in the running, and I don't think he's going to win. So with that being said, I think if I had to pick a winner this early, I'm going to go with Sho. I just think that, you know, he's usually a tag guy, and his tag partner, Yo, actually tore his ACL. It's a pretty brutal knee injury, and he had to vacate his championship belt with Yo, and that's why they had the tournament that I talked about a little bit ago with that I saw Master Wato in, and I just think Sho would be the perfect person to kind of strap the rocket to and have him. And, you know, by the way, if he wins the tournament, he gets the briefcase, the challenge for the junior championship at Wrestle Kingdom, which I'd imagine will be Taji Ishimori at Wrestle Kingdom. So, and like I said, the first show is on 11/15 in Aichi. And next, I will go to the World Tag League entrances, because like I said earlier, the tournaments will be running simultaneously. So first team of 10, we have Finn Juice, Juice Robinson, and David Finley. Third entry, third consecutive, and they won the tournament last year. I think they're going to go far again. There's no reason. They're defending their championship from last year, so they have the chip on their shoulder to repeat as champions. So they're definitely, you know, right off the bat, a team to watch. Second, we have the current IWGP Tag Team Champions, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi. And if ever there was going to be a time when champions would win and then get to choose their opponent at Wrestle Kingdom, it would be them. Taichi and Zack went far in the tournament last year, but didn't win. And it wouldn't shock me if this is the time when the champions end up winning the tournament when it's all said and done. Next is G.O.D., Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa. Fifth entry, fifth consecutive. They are six-time former IWGP Tag Team Champions. You know, their resume as far as tag team wrestling in New Japan speaks for itself. But they have never won Tag League. They've been in it, you know, this will be the fifth time that they've been in it, and the previous four times they've never won it. And I don't think they're going to win it here. It's just something about the tournament wrestling. They just, you know, they don't do as good as you would think they would, you know, with their resume. Next, we have Hinare Ace, Toa Hinare, and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Second entry, second consecutive. Hinare, this is his first time back since the shutdown, and he will be teaming up with the ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi, again. I expect them to be in the running, you know, towards the end. I think they're a team that'll go far. And that's all I can really say because I haven't seen Hinare in a few months, so I kind of want to see how things go with that before I get too much into it. Next, we have Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi, their second entry, first in 2 years. They actually just teamed up together to challenge for the belts on the Road 2 shows before Power Struggle for the belts against Sabre Jr. and Taichi, and it was a really good match. I suggest you go back and watch it if you haven't watched it. Yoshihashi's been doing some of his best wrestling since I've been watching, by far. This is the best I've seen him since I started watching, so I think they will definitely make some splashes here and there. I think they'll definitely be in the running towards the end as well. Next is Toru Yano, the KOPW champion, everybody, and Tomohiro Ishii, third entry, first in 2 years. I think they're a team, even though they have the serious guy and the Joker guy, I really think they're going to go far, and I know I've said that about a couple of teams, but, you know, that's just kind of how, you know, challenging it is to just pick somebody. I really think, you know, with Yano and the way his antics are and how much of a beast Tomohiro Ishii is, I honestly don't see any reason why they won't be in the running. Next, we have Shingo Takagi and Sonata. This is their first entry together. So, in the past, Sonata would have teamed with Evil, but since he betrayed L.I.J. or Los Ingobernables de Japón to join the Bullet Club, he's teaming with Shingo. And I honestly think that is a team right there that could win this whole thing. I really do. I think that's a sneaky team. And even though they haven't experienced the tag league together, I don't think that really matters. They've wrestled together in non-tag leagues, so I don't see why they would have any issue as far as gelling in a, you know, in a tournament setting. Next, we have Evil and Yujiro Takahashi. This is their first entry. This team is not going to go far. I doubt Evil's going to take any pins. The pin eater, Yujiro, will probably eat all the pins on that team, and I don't really have much to say about them other than that. I really think it's, you know, that'll be a team that isn't going to go too far, just because I know that Yujiro is there to eat the other team's pins. Next, we have Bad Luck Fale and Chase Owens, their third entry, second consecutive. Fale's got his version of the pin eater, Chase Owens. Another team that I don't think is going to go too far. You know, it's not that the talent's not there. It's just, you know, just certain teams you can tell by, you know, who's on them. And just from, if you've watched New Japan and who usually is the guy that'll take the fall for the team, that's kind of how Chase Owens is, so that's kind of all I have to say there. And then lastly, we have the Great Okan the Great Okan, and actually it's a mystery partner. They have not announced the mystery partner, and on the New Japan site it says, rounding out the World Tag League 2020 field is a team representing the Empire and consisting of the Great Okan and a mystery partner. After Power Struggle in Osaka, Will Ospreay made allusions to a new third active member of the Empire, and we will find out just who that is when the World Tag League gets underway on November 15th. Speculation is sure to run rampant, and with a lateral X factor in the league, this will be a team that's impossible to game plan for. Honestly, if I had to guess, it wouldn't shock me if that is Jeff Cobb as the mystery partner. Don't ask me why. I think that I've read a few places that he could be the mystery partner, but it wouldn't shock me if it's another English guy from Rev Pro that Will knows from his time when he was in England wrestling. So I guess we'll have to find out on the 15th. Okay, so I guess it's time for me to pick somebody, which I really don't know. I guess if I had to guess, I will say Sonata and Shingo. I just think, you know, new team, never teamed together. I think it's going to throw a lot of the other teams off, and I think G.O.D. would be a close second as far as who I think will win, and yeah, I think I'm going to go with Shingo and Sonata. Okay, next I kind of just want to run through the New Japan of America, just kind of do a quick recap of the show from Friday. So the first match, we had Fred Rosser over Jordan Clearwater. And, you know, it was a short 5-minute match. It wasn't nothing flashy. Rosser got the win with the gut buster and then the boot to the head. The next match was Owens beating Danny Limelight with the package pile driver. I thought Limelight actually got more offense in than Owens did. But Owens did end up getting the win with the package pile driver. The last match was J.R. Kratos and Russ Taylor actually beating Romero and Cobb. I thought it was a pretty good match, and Kratos had a pretty sweet looking wheelbarrow suplex to Romero. I've never seen a suplex like that, or at least like the way he did it. I thought that was pretty sweet. So next week for New Japan of America, I will go over that card quick for their show that they have next Friday. Again, guys, you know, it is kind of like wrestling for the sake of wrestling, but I do enjoy watching it. I think the American product is, you know, something cool that we can see while they can't get over to Japan and stuff. So I'll go over that card with you guys for the... What day is it for? Sorry. You know, it's so hard to get stuff to load on my tablet here, and I'm trying to get the card popped up for you guys. Okay, here we go. So, the card for New Japan Showdown, that's the name of the tour here, for this upcoming Friday. The first match is ACH and Blake Christian versus Alex Zane and Adrian Quest. I think that'll be a pretty good, interesting match. I've liked what I've seen from Zane and Quest. They're high flowers. Oh my gosh, guys! I'm sorry. I'm tired. Like I said last week, I work for the post office, and election season just got over with. And you know, like I said, I got two little kids, and they keep me running around at night. So yeah, blame them. I blame them. So high flyers, not flowers. So, I think that'll be a pretty good match. Next we have Fred Rosser versus Tom Lawler, who most of you probably know from MMA. And, you know, I hope Lawler gets better soon. I did hear he has COVID-19, so hopefully he'll get over that and not have any issues. But, you know, that's what I said last week. These were pre-taped, so that was probably before his diagnosis. And then the last match is Juice Robinson, Brody King, and Carl Fredericks versus the Bullet Club team of Jay White, Tangelo, and Chase Owens. I think that'll be a really good match. I like Brody King from ROH, and Carl Fredericks was the young lion that just recently graduated. And then it's cool to see Juice on here. This was probably, like I said, it's before he went back to Japan to wrestle. And then it'd be cool to see Jay White and Tangelo on the same team, and, you know, Chase Owens too. And then, as my kids are screaming in the background, so the last match is PJ Black versus Tama Tonga. I think that'll be a pretty good match. Both these guys are pretty experienced. You know, PJ Black has wrestled in a bunch of countries and stuff, so I think that'll be a pretty good match. And then, the last thing I want to talk about is the card from the 15th, and from 11:15, which would be the night one preview. That's all I have so far. I know some of the junior matches, but they haven't released a card yet. So if they don't, if they release it before, you know, I do my show next week, I am sorry about that. But, you know, just watch along with the tournament and keep track and stuff like that. So night one, I'm going to go through this quick because we are at 40 minutes and I can hear my kids screaming, so they're probably getting antsy out there. First match we got, World Tag League, Yano and Ishii versus Owens and Fale. The next match is a Super Junior match, Wato versus Uemura. Third match is a Tag League match, Hinar Ace versus Great O'Conn and the Mystery Partner. The fourth match is Robbie Eagles versus Doki from the Super Junior. The fifth match is World Tag League, Chaos, Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto versus the Dangerous Techers, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi. The sixth match is Sho versus Bushi Jr. match. The seventh match is back to Tag League again, Sanada and Shingo versus Takahashi and Evil. The eighth match is Taguchi and Desperado versus each other in the junior match. The ninth match is G.O.D. versus Finn Juice, the Tag League, back again. And then the main event will be a junior match, Hiromu Takahashi versus Taji Ishimori. Like I said, night one, they are going to run them together. But after night one, they are going to go to every other. So I'm going to go to the schedule quick. So before I record next week, they will have a show on the 15th, a show on the 16th, a show on the 18th, and a show on the 19th, and a show on the 20th, and then they will go back at it again Sunday. So they're really going to be pounding these shows out, guys, because, you know, they have to, they're trying to get them in before, so they can do some shows for the, you know, the Wrestle Kingdom and stuff. So the 15th is in Aichi, like I said. The 16th is in Ishikawa. The 18th is in Tokyo. 19th is in Tokyo. The 20th is in Tokyo. And the 22nd is in Nagano. And we will go over all those cards. And guys, I promise I will try my best to get all those watched before I record next week. I can't promise I can get them all watched, because that is a lot of wrestling. And I think if I watch wrestling all day, my wife will probably strangle me. So we don't want that. And so the last thing I want to talk about before I let you guys all go here, as we get down up to the 42-minute mark here, there was a press conference for Wrestle Kingdom, and Jay White came out, ripped his contract up, said he couldn't understand it, said he wanted it in English instead of Japanese, and he said he will not do nothing on the opening night. Because, like I said, it is a two-night event. He said, I will not do nothing on the opening night. I will only face him on the January the 5th. So, when Naito came out, he said, you know, even though Ibushi lost his briefcase to Jay White, I'm going to give him a chance. And I'm going to put both belts up. So, that is going to be insane. Because the match that we thought we were going to see before Ibushi lost to White, we're going to get to see it. So it could be Jay White versus Ibushi on the second night and not Naito. And that wouldn't even completely shock me, to be honest. That's why I really love New Japan. The booking is, you know, really hard to predict, which is, it's so nice to have booking that isn't, you know, where I can book it in my head as I'm watching along. It's not like that, so that is going to wrap the show up. Like I said, thank you so much for listening last week. And thank you for listening this week. And guys, please send me your predictions for the tournament. And I promise I will read them off on the air next week. I want to get your guys' opinions on the show, because I think that'll help the show. And I can answer questions too. I didn't get no questions from last week, which was kind of a bummer, but because I want to get you guys involved, you know, because I wouldn't have this show unless it was for people that, like you guys, that listen to it. So please send me your, who you think is going to win the tournament, and I promise I will give you a shout out on air. So feel free to email me at zackdowning24@gmail.com. That's all lowercase, ZACKDOWNING NJPW24@gmail.com and shoot me a follow on Twitter and interact with me. It's at NJPWZACK or NJPWZAC. And that is all for me tonight. Goodbye and sayonara.